Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
It is time to get the bigger picture.
Yes, the bigger picture is December, before December, a record-setting November.
Oh, it was really quite something. 30,000 on the Dow last week. I mean, incredible numbers.
Did Santa come early, though?
Will we see more records before the year ends? I think that would be interesting to watch out for. And just to recap November, we saw the Dow up nearly 12%. That is its biggest one-month gain since 1987. And the S&P 500 and NASDAQ also posted gains of over 10% for their biggest month. Monthly gain since April. And looking at the Russell 2000, which tracks the small caps, they had its biggest month ever, up 18.3%. And back home, of course, Singapore markets up nearly 15% for their best month in nearly 10 years. So what's in store for the rest of the year? Let's check in with Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu.
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Vasu, I think you're also starting to get a bit more optimistic. I'm looking at your past forecast, and you were previously neutral sometime in the start of November, and you are now overweight on equities. Walk us through your thinking behind this, and how much more upside is there left with the rally?
Well, you know, Ryan, at the start of November, we were not sure of the outcome of the U.S. elections, but once it became clear that Biden had won the elections and we'd see a U.S. Split Congress, that mustered a bit more confidence that, you know, the things will start looking better. First of all, you know, it clears a cloud of political uncertainty, you know, and basically it means less political interference in policymakers like the Fed. Secondly, I think it also means that with a split Congress, Biden is not able to increase taxes, tighten regulation. These are the things that, you know, worry the markets. And of course, under a Biden presidency, I think they'll probably do a better job managing COVID. Greater chance of fiscal stimulus once the politics is out of the way. And of course, Biden is for significant spending on infrastructure, which has got bipartisan support. And under his leadership, hopefully that will take place down the road. So with a Biden victory and a split Congress, that, you know, inspired confidence that the outlook was starting to look better. And of course, China is gaining more traction in its economic recovery. The economic data was starting to improve, although it's mild. So put all that together, plus the possibility of easier monetary policy from the Federal Reserve, I think, you know, that led us to believe that, you know, equities was the way to go, and investors should start taking on more risk.
Yeah, talking about reducing market uncertainty, Joe Biden has confirmed Janet Yellen as his Treasury Secretary. So that goes some way to lending confidence in the market with an old hand at the job. And Vasu, you talked about Chinese markets and what's happening in China. What's going on there is, I think, not good news for some Chinese companies. You've got a bit of a blacklist going on. You've got China's top chip maker, SMIC, and one of its top oil producers, CNOOC. That is going to be on a list where U.S. companies and investors can't touch. Do you see this having a spillover effect in terms of, you know, investors just shunning or reducing exposure to what's happening in China?
I don't think so. I think investors cannot ignore the broader picture in China, which is very, very positive. I mean, the Chinese economy and the Chinese corporate sector is growing at a phenomenal pace, much faster than elsewhere. So this is a bit of political noise that's taking place. I think it's Trump really trying to cement his tough on China legacy and also trying to box Biden into taking a tough stance on China. But the question is whether Biden will adopt Trump's policies. I mean, we're going to see handover fairly soon. Biden, it's not clear if Biden will continue with the sanctions or whether he'll reverse the sanctions. And on top of that, I think if you look at U.S. Fund holdings of the sanctioned companies or the blacklisted companies, it may not be very significant. So quite a bit of noise, but in reality, the impact may not be as significant and lasting as, you know, some may think.
Yeah, so down the road this week, you've got a decision to watch out for from the likes of the index compilers, MSCI and FTSE Russell. They'll be announcing what they are going to be doing with these companies under sanction. So I'm just wondering, is this going to be an opportunity for people to buy on the dips if something does happen in terms of a correction in the tech sector especially?
I think so. You know, I mean, I think if there's a disquiet and the markets see a big pullback because of this, I doubt that's going to happen in a big way. But if it does happen, then it could actually present a buying opportunity, because I think, you know, index providers like MSCI, FTSE. I mean, they also recognize the fact that there's a political overlay here. And down the road, it's also possible that Biden may reverse some of this policy. So they may not want to do anything too drastic. And if Biden does reverse policy, then what happens to these index providers? Do they then include these companies back in the index again? Investors will not overreact. They'll recognize the fact that there's a political overlay and the political situation may change in a matter of months. So I don't think we'll see panic selling as a consequence. But if we see prices correcting sharply in some of these companies, you know, they could actually present an opportunity for investors with a strong risk appetite.
Yeah, Vasu, talk about the political situation. There is something brewing on the front between Australia and China. The tensions are really escalating, and the latest is a clampdown on oil imports, or rather wine imports. What's the risk of this escalating further? Do you see this really spilling over into the rest of the region and maybe affecting global recovery and even stock market sentiment?
I don't think so. The chance of this escalating between China and Australia is possible, very possible. I mean, basically, Australia's exports, 40% of it, wine exports rather, goes to China. So China is a very big wine market for Australia. I think this has got a political overlay. China is doing what it's doing. This is not a trade war, not a typical trade war. It's not because of, the fact that the Australian wine industry is subsidized. I think the markets believe that, China is doing this because it's unhappy with Australia's comments about Hong Kong, Taiwan, and also, the origins of COVID-19, So there's a political overlay, and China is flexing its muscle and perhaps showing the rest of the world that, it is not very happy when there's unfounded criticism, or the way it sees is unfounded criticism. So whether it's going to spill over to the rest of the region, I doubt it. I don't think China will want to upset the apple cart right now. It's doing fairly well in terms of RCEP and taking leadership. I think it's just trying to teach Australia a lesson and hopefully send a signal to the rest of the world not to dabble in Chinese politics.
Yeah, and just to wrap things up, right? Something interesting as well happening this week is Bitcoin hitting a new record. So the cryptocurrency overnight hitting is near levels of $20,000. That is up by 8.7% overnight. I'm just wondering, is this time different? Because if you cast your mind back to 3 years ago when we were around this level, you had the man on the street asking about Bitcoin, the man in the taxi also asking about Bitcoin. Are you getting increased interest now? And are there now actually stronger fundamentals supporting Bitcoin?
Brian, I'm very worried because, if you look at Bitcoin prices, they're up 180% so far this year. 180%. I mean, to me, that smacks of speculation, mania. I don't see a lot of fundamental support. I think what investors are banking on is very loose monetary policy from central banks, that resulting in the devaluation of fiat currencies, loss of confidence in fiat currencies, and therefore money gravitating towards digital currencies like Bitcoin. Now, I think that's a bit far-fetched. I don't see a strong fundamental basis for Bitcoin. What I see is speculation. Interest rates are very low. Yield is very low. Investors are searching for better returns. And so speculative money is going into Bitcoin. And I think investors ought to be careful. Even if they do put their money into Bitcoin, only put what you can afford to lose, because you've seen the prices whipsaw in a big way. Just in the last few days, I think it's corrected, 20-30%. So unless you can withstand that kind of price movement, be very careful.
Yeah, very volatile asset. And of course, a lot of speculation on Bitcoin these days. We've been chatting Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you for your time again and catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a good day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.